Welcome to Radio Labyrinth Season 9, Episode 16. It is Wednesday, April 17th, the year of our Lord 2024. That's the day we recorded. I just thought I'd throw that out there because it doesn't come out. Well, what would that make it? The 20th? Yeah, so happy 420 day, bro. We didn't do a pot-themed show. We should have done that. What was I thinking about? Let's all go get high right now.
You didn't do a pot-themed show.
Yeah, Jeff and Dustin did. I'm at work.
Let's smoke some weed.
How you do a smoke weed?
You know, it is like the best medicine.
I know you smoke a little weed, right?
Smoke, smoke, smoke. Talk, talk, talk.
Hey, 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 hey. Smoke weed every day.
But anyway, share us with your friends. And if you're new subscribers over the last couple of weeks, thank you. Please stick around. We'll plug and play some shit today to get back in that algorithm. Because Red Bar is investigating. I don't know why he would. I don't know why he would care. Anyway, opening the show on a somber tone. The greatest NFL running back of the 1970s, perhaps of all time, a Buffalo Bills legend who ran for 2,000 yards in 14 games, a double threat from the gridiron to the screen, the Towering Inferno, Roots, Capricorn One, the Naked Gun movies, First and 10. Remember that horrible show on HBO that was you just watched to see boobs? And they used USFL footage from the 80s. And you got to watch Delta Burke go from really, really hot to just pretty. See, I'm not being mean. And he was the first reality show to feature a Kardashian. I'm talking about O.J. Simpson, who left this earth almost a week ago. And we all miss him, and we want to wish his family condolences. And, we do want to wish his family condolences. One of the best things to happen from this is that a lot of people are being either introduced or reintroduced to Norm Macdonald. Do you guys see all those clips from his SNL days?
This week at the O.J. Simpson trial, the infamous bloody glove was finally introduced into evidence. And O.J. didn't help his case any by blurting out, "There it is. I've been looking all over for that thing."
Are you going to do the joke I put in there?
And now the real killer is finally able to kill again with impunity. Or so the Germans would have us believe, yeah?
Closest it's going to get. Maybe I would be better at these voices if I would practice them. But, you know, I read Jay Moore's book a couple of years ago or listened to the audio book because he's an impressionist. Why would you read it when you can hear him narrate it and do the voices? But he said, if I don't get the voice on the first try, I'm never going to get it. And that makes a lot of sense. Then it actually works. What else came out of the OJ? The best coverage of the OJ trial and the whole saga was, of course, if you listen to Howard Stern from 94 through 96, fantastic stuff. And a lot of that is available out there. You can find the entire saga. It's over, I think it's like 25 hours long. And that would include Weekend at OJ's, which was a funny bit where OJ took Ron and Nicole to the bank.
"Let me get a toaster. I'll take the toaster. What would you like, Ron?"
And he did the voice and he had strings on him. Allegedly, they came up with it on air. They probably planned it, but a lot of it was improvised and it was very fucking funny. And then you had Billy West at the time doing the Judge Ito. "Miss Clark, I would like you to come up here and I want to beat you with my timepieces." Remember, Ito had the clocks.
Hello, living world. I'm up here and my loved ones are around me. The good thing is, and I said this on the Von Hessler Doctrine radio show, is that I'm finally able to go through walls and now I can find the real killer. And I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to go on to the light or pass on to the next realm until I find those killers. Take care. Take care. Hello, Twitter world.
Jeff, you are where?
During the chase was the one
infamous chase that gave us.
Yeah, that was the day I got offered the job in Tortola, in British Virgin Islands, in Mansfield.
Yeah. I was working at a restaurant where I worked in college. Of course, this was post college, but I was there. And the whole bar, man, no one was in the restaurant, so I didn't have to cook. Everybody just stood there watching the TV. Couldn't believe what we were seeing. The birth of the Kardashian empire right there. Dustin, what were you doing?
I was actually on stage playing a show at a bar in Macon on campus called The Brit. and we were going to take a break. And I think we didn't go back on stage for like another hour, just waiting for it to be over.
Well, then you juxtapose that when the decision came out, you know, from the first trial, the murder trial, that debacle. I was a manager at Bob Evans. And so the day that that verdict was going to be read, I had to work. And, you know, all my employees, they wanted to know it. They wanted to know the outcome as well. So I had this shitty black and white TV that I had bought at a thrift store. Because when I moved to go to this town that I was living in, I didn't have anything like that. I didn't have a TV at all. So I brought the black and white TV in and set it up in the break room, found a channel that would come in that, of course, would have news. And we were busy that day, I remember, but they were about to announce it. So I said, hey, everybody, if you want to watch the da-da-da-da, come into the break room and watch this. And it was such a funny thing. I didn't care. You know, I never really cared if he was innocent or guilty. I wasn't invested in it like people were emotionally. I thought the whole thing was a ridiculous spectacle. That's what bothered me more than anything else. Of course, the murders bothered me, but hey, I'm not convinced he did it. He was acquitted. Anyway, so I had the table set up, and everybody that worked in the back of the restaurant, all the cooks, all the kitchen prep guys, those guys were all black guys. And then all the waitresses were white. And so some of the waitresses came in there, and then all the cooks and everything were in there. And when the verdict was read, all the guys cheered. And you could, the look, I mean, I remember the looks on their faces. This one girl, her name was Michelle, and she looked like she was going to cry. And she goes, I can't believe it. She just walked out. And everybody else was laughing. And I just looked at the one guy, Dennis, and I went, well, looks like we're going to have some more Naked Gun movies. And they all cracked.
We are going to have more Naked Gun movies with Liam Neeson.
Oh, yeah.
And Pamela Anderson.
Yeah.
Why? Come on. Nordberg, I have a very particular set of skills.
He's like a good actor to do it, though, because he's like taken seriously like Leslie Nielsen was.
Yes. Is he going to walk around with a whoopee cushion or a fart?
I hope.
I did that for you. What do you think of that? Nordberg, I got a fart machine. So the people today who only know OJ as maybe they discovered him on Twitter or TikTok, or they just know him as a guy that murdered people. We grew up with OJ, and it was weird. I had always loved him from when he was a Buffalo Bill to being an actor. I remember he hosted Saturday Night Live, and they did that really awkward Black History thing where he was making out with Bill Murray. It was this whole sex plantation thing. You'll have to find it if you want to see it. And of course, when he came out, he was to host, he had a cone head on. But
didn't
I always
didn't he run to the airport?
Yeah, that was the Hertz commercial, was it? Oh, yeah, he did the rental car commercial. So he really was culturally impactful, especially pop culture beyond sports. And he was on NBC. And you can think about back when Tim Meadows was on SNL. He played OJ. Like, they gave him his job back on NBC, and everybody's freaking out. And he's doing the little pen, you know, the pen on the screen to show you the plays, and he just wrote out, I did it. So, I feel bad for OJ's family, but the one story that happened this week is OJ's lawyers, the estate lawyers, were basically going to tell the Goldmans, who haven't received a penny ever from OJ, to go to hell, but he reversed course, and now the estate is going to start giving them money, which is cool because, you know, they've been waiting a long time. Almost.
I thought we're supposed to get all the proceeds from that book he wrote.
Well, you know, I don't know what happened to that. Hold on. Look, I'm just saying, y'all. Take care. Take care. Spoiler alert time. If you have not viewed Fallout, if you are only partially through Fallout, if you have one episode to go, spoiler alert, because we're going to talk about Fallout. I wish we could talk about it with Steph. She watched it. She loved it.
She watched it?
Yeah, she had a lot of downtime. Dustin, did you watch all of Fallout?
Did I? No, but we're good. No. I've, unfortunately, because I spend so much time on YouTube, it fixed that for me.
Are you turning into me?
You didn't watch it all either, because you said last week you're not going to binge it.
Yeah, but I lied.
You were lying.
Yes, of course. It was too good to not binge.
Dustin, insert a clip of Tim saying he's not going to binge it.
I'm not going to binge it, though. I got to savor it.
Why did I lie? Because it was too good. And the problem is that they shouldn't have done it that way. It would be
Amazon usually doesn't do that. I don't know why they decided to do it.
Did they think that no one was going to like it or something?
I don't know what the reason was.
There has to be a reason, but...
They don't do that with Reacher. They don't do that with The Boys.
That show with the hole in it's coming back? The Josh Brolin hole show?
Yeah.
They'll probably dump all that out. But this show should have been a weekly series. It should have been a weekly episodic thing over 8 weeks. Maybe they have something else coming out that they, you know, I don't know. But it was so good. It was the kind of show that I hated that I had to binge it. But once I started, I couldn't stop it. Walton Goggins is that damn good. And by the way, somebody made a supercut of just Walter Goggins. And it's like a 2-hour movie of just his scenes. I don't know why they would do that. But there were your usual detractors, you know, it's woke. There's too many non-white people with vaginas in it and other things. I don't understand why people would think it's woke. It's fucking stupid. It's perfectly cast. And it's the type of show that anybody could be any character from any walk of life and make it good. So
shit ton of cameos.
Piss on that. Yeah, the cameos were great. We'll talk about that.
The show was hilarious.
It was very funny. It was gross, and it had a lot of violence in it. So all those things work. But the detractors are friggin' idiots, and it's not woke. And if you think it is, even all the people that I sometimes watch on YouTube who shit on everything, they all loved it. So that's how you know it's good, but you have to view it for yourself. But I do think that Goggins steals the scenes. Every scene he's in is his, as the ghoul, and even when he's Cooper.
You think he's doing a little Timothy Olyphant?
Which, when he's what? When he's Cooper?
Yeah, when he's Cooper. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could think. I think a little bit, yeah.
I thought that when he was doing the cowboy and stuff, I just felt like...
Oh, when he was playing the cowboy in the movie? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it was a little influenced by Timothy Olyphant.
Very good storytelling, by the way it's written. And I think you're right about that. Let's talk before we get to the whole... Well, let's do the whole cast. I'll do the whole cast. Ella Purnell played Lucy McClain. She's the main character, I would say. Moises Arias was... her brother Norm, who gets
Norm, he's great.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Aaron Moten plays Maximus. He was also really good, very understated, kind of failing his way upward. We already mentioned Walton Goggins, he's the ghoul, and Cooper Howard. Kyle MacLachlan, he was the overseer. Hank McClain, who is Ella and Moises' father. Michael Emerson, I would have loved to have seen more of Michael Emerson. He was Wilzig, the doctor.
He was in it for a little bit.
Yeah, he lost his head though. Matt Berry, again, he could have been in it a lot more. He's Sebastian Leslie, also Mr. Handy, Snip Snip. Leslie Uggams, who is a longtime actress. She's fantastic. She was Betty Pearson, one of the overseers of the Vault 32. Is that what they are? They're in 32.
Yeah.
Zach Cherry was good. Understated role. He was Woody. I can't pronounce her name, so I don't want to butcher it. Sartia Chowdhury. She was great as Moldaver. Chris Parnell, he had a longer than a cameo role, but he was fucking hilarious as Overseer Benjamin with the one eye.
Yeah.
John Daly, he was the snake oil salesman. Michael Rappaport was King Titus. I didn't expect any of these, which I loved. And he was...
Right, they just spiced in this little cameo with these huge actors that are only in it for a few minutes.
Fred Armisen, DJ Carl.
Yeah.
Good. And so Fred Armisen, right? That was absolutely a Fred Armisen thing. And doing that thing where he's like the music critic and intentionally playing that horrible fiddle music.
Can you hear the mids?
Yeah, exactly. that's a Fred Armisen thing. And that's right up his alley. And then Eric Estrada, who was great.
Yep.
And I love that Eric Estrada. Okay. You know,
that was Bubba that dug up the ghoul at the beginning.
Yeah.
Who?
From Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Bubba Gump.
Yeah.
Gulper Shrimp.
That's right. I thought that I recognized that guy. I didn't connect it with Boba.
There's ghouls with noses and ghouls without noses. I guess that's about all the types of ghouls there is for us.
Bubba, but what did everybody think? You guys like it?
Yeah,
I loved it.
What'd you think about the ending? Does anybody, do you guys know anything about the games? Because I've been watching a lot of videos.
It's leading up to the Fallout New Vegas.
It is. It's not going to be the same story, though, right?
No, this wasn't even the same story in any video games. Though. Yeah, that's what's awesome about it.
Establish the world, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything.
I think, what do you see? The last shot is sort of, it's Kyle MacLachlan looking over the horizon. He has flown the suit there, right?
Yeah.
Well, they took their helmets off. They don't take their helmets off in the game. In the game.
Listen, nobody knows that but you, gamer.
Yeah, we'll talk about that shit when we get Steph's husband on, because he played all the games.
Yes. We'll follow up. We'll do a segment with him.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it a little bit. I never played any of the games. But again, you know, a friend of mine said if I want to watch playthroughs to start with the third game, and then, I don't know. The people argue about all this stuff. I don't know anything about it, so I didn't really dive into it too much. But I did watch a lot of videos to see Easter eggs and breakdowns and stuff like that.
I like the retro-futurism stuff where all the tech's like stopped in the 50s.
Yeah, and that I read a theory about that is that in that world, in that universe, they never discovered the microchip, and they weren't able to do anything with silicon or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was kind of an interesting thing for me. I love it when a show like that drops, you know, and there's a lot of shit I'm behind on or stuff I'm not ever going to start or watch. But that I just had to go right through because I wanted to get to the end. And now I want more. And there's no idea when the second season is going to come out. But I will say it was fantastic. And I want to see more. And if I had.
So season two is just as good. Those Westworld people have a tendency to not do good beyond the first season.
The series wasn't as good as the movie with Yul Brynner.
Right, but the first season of Westworld was really good, and then it fell off the cliff after that.
I didn't even watch the third season.
Yeah.
So terrible. But we hope you guys liked it, too. Let us know what you think in the comments, and maybe we'll read them next week. Ha ha ha. Now it's time for Jeff's favorite part of the show where we talk about podcasts. Talk about podcasts that talk about podcasts, but we also talk about podcasts that we watch or listen to and the things that they say on the podcasts. So we're very podcast friendly on this show. We want those podcasts to either get really mad at us or really happy with us and then talk about us so more people will come and watch our show. That's what we really, really like. People in our comments on YouTube were saying that Red Bar is and Mike, they're investigating you. I found out that's kind of a meme. But yeah, I did watch it.
It's what his army does. It's what his army, that's their little inside joke. They go and they tag all these podcasts with that saying. Yeah.
And then somebody said something and I wrote, well, why would he care? We like him.
That's what they all say.
Yeah.
I like his show and he's doing shtick and we'll talk about it in a little bit. But Two Bears, One Infomercial is the name of the latest podcast cringe as of this date. And, you know, the constant bashing of Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer, that's a cottage industry of itself, unto itself. There's so many channels that talk about how horrible they are and how they rip off their fans. And I guess that's an argument that you could make, but they still get tons of views and they still get people going to their shows and selling them out, right? They still have tons of fans. I don't think people are that invested in it. But these videos on YouTube with these guys who talk about them or critique them, they get thousands and thousands of videos too, sometimes hundreds of thousands and tens of thousands. But the point of the podcast cringe episode today was Zin pouches. And I'm like, why? I've never heard them talk about it, but really Tom and Bert are really doing an infomercial for those Zin pouches.
Bert, the first thing he did at the punchline was put in two Zins.
Yeah. And they're saying that they're not getting paid for it, but then you find out that they might be.
Yeah.
Which is illegal.
Yeah, they started that episode where they really went in on the Zen pouches and really brought them up and everything. That was probably about a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just been, I don't know, it seems like lately it's one thing after another. And I think this is probably part of their kayfabe, just to keep
It's kayfabe to get other people talking about them?
Yeah, I think the more I watch these videos of, I think it's just all a cyclical thing. I think it's all just people that are there. They know that they've got people that are hitting them hard with the, you know, hate from XYZ. And that's kind of, you know, it's the new, you know, where are the bodies buried? And
aha.
Yeah.
And the where are the bodies buried is a thing that they do to Garth Brooks. Unfortunately.
Garth Brooks. Yeah. Saying that he was a serial killer.
I hadn't thought about that, but that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. But check out Podcast Cringe if you're interested. That's only one of those I really want to talk about this week, because I want to talk about some of the podcasts that we actually watch. Now, I know, Jeff, you don't watch Red Bar at all. Have you watched any of it ever?
No.
Did you watch the video I posted where he dresses up like almost exactly like Dave Attell?
No.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite clever. He goes, why does he wear a do-rag under his hat? Why does he wear a do-rag under his hat? And look at his clothes. He's poor. He could buy more clothes. Go ahead, Dustin.
Well, he made a point that if you go into Amazon and you put in black hat, the first one that pops up, that's the one that Dave Attell has. If you put black hoodie, the first one that pops up, that's what he's got.
And he had a recorder, so he's playing
from the end of his show. Yeah.
Yes. And you have to watch this in clips. I mean, I'm sure he has people that will watch the entire 8-hour show. I don't think I would ever be able to do that unless I just had nothing to do. But I wouldn't even call it a takedown. He's critical of Dave's stand-up. Yeah, it's a whole 37 minutes. But that's true. It was a short special, but he did the recorder thing, which was enjoyable. I've always been a fan of his. And I had a good time going to see him with Jeff a couple months ago. But I do like Mike's take on it, and I think it's funny. And I don't think it's particularly brutal. Do you, Dustin?
No, I don't. I think it's his way of, just like everybody in the comments of that video, it seems like another generation that's doesn't understand why Gen X loves Dave Attell so much. They just see him as this old guy.
Right.
That's it. They don't see his comedy. They don't get it.
I think his stand-up special was probably longer, but maybe they cut out crowd work and shit.
Probably.
Like, sometimes if you're filming it and the crowd work doesn't work, what are you going to do?
Right.
Just edit it out.
Attell will be like, cut that out.
And we saw him. He did an hour.
Yeah, he did a long hour.
But there was probably 15 minutes of crowd work in that hour.
Yeah, and talking to, and he had the other comic come out with him. Yeah. Maybe that got cut out because he probably did that there.
Yeah.
He did make fun of all the podcasts because Dave's not really a podcast guy. He goes on the ones that are his friends. But I think when you have a Netflix special, you have to go do all these podcasts. That's why Dusty Slay was.
I'm sure Netflix sent him around on the tour.
He did everybody's except Roseanne's. And why would you do Roseanne's? There was an old school JRE this week. Last week he had Neil Brennan on, and they talked a lot about conspiracies, especially in Hollywood. They talked about Jay-Z. They talked about, did you watch that one, either of you?
I watched his stand-up special.
You didn't watch the Neil Brennan?
No, I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I thought it was crazy how it took him 18 months to get over that DMT trip.
Yeah, that was interesting. It really fucked him up. Did he do ayahuasca or DMT?
No, he did ayahuasca first and handled that. So he thought, well, let's do the DMT next. And he just either did too much or it was too strong, but it really messed him up for a long time. And then he tried to do ayahuasca a few months later to see if it would close that door, and it just kind of perpetuated the whole thing.
So you do ayahuasca to get rid of the ayahuasca?
It's at a certain point, you've got to, like, I don't know if it's 18 months to get over something. I mean, I would try anything after the first six, I guess.
That shit scares me. That's a long ass trip. Even DMT scares me. I don't know that I would ever want to do it. Have you ever done it, Jeff?
No, I would though.
Yeah. How about you, Dustin?
No, I've never done DMT. I know people that have.
No, I've never done heroin.
They smoked opium.
I did smoke opium.
That means you've done heroin.
No, it doesn't. Heroin's refined opium.
No.
But anyway, Joe Rogan this week had one of his first guests and a guy that's been on the show a lot, Graham Hancock. He had a show on Netflix. He's one of those guys that believes in alternative history or archaeology, believes that there was a pre-Younger Dryas Clovis culture that existed with smart humans who taught everybody how to, well, there was a very advanced civilization that existed prior to the comet hitting the Earth, causing the Ice Age. And this time, there was an archaeologist there. He had a goofy name, and I didn't write it down. I forget it now. And the archaeologist was like presenting facts and looking at things and you know, saying why Graham Hancock is wrong. He says, you're entertaining, but, you know, you're wrong because scientists have done this for hundreds of years. And there's millions of pieces of evidence showing that humans learned how to do agriculture, you know, after the Ice Age. And so it was cool at the beginning. And I like those kind of episodes because sometimes I can take or leave Rogan. I mean, it's always dependent on the guest for me. If it's somebody that I'm interested in, I'll keep watching it. Otherwise, I'll watch these, you know, takedown or clip shows. But I had to, they just started arguing. So I was done with it. I'm like, I'll go watch
I'll watch clips on TikTok if I see them.
Yeah, me too. And if, you know, if it's, again, if it's a TikTok video and it's somebody that I didn't, an episode I hadn't seen and I like the person, I'll go watch it. Like one of my favorite episodes with Joe is the one where he has Tom O'Neill on, who wrote Chaos about CIA and Charles Manson. I will review that one because I like it so much. But usually I'm a one and done. I mean, that's 3 hours of your life. Talked about Roseanne a minute ago. Jim Brewer was on Roseanne.
What are you going on here?
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was bizarre.
Yeah.
Jim talking about... David Tell, I don't know. They came, these powerful people came, and I don't know who they are. And I know it's probably a terrible Jim Brewer impression, but I don't give a shit. Jim is alleging that Dave Chappelle bolted, that before Dave bolted for Africa, he told Jim Brewer he was visited by some powerful Hollywood people who scared him. And then when he came back from Africa, he wasn't the same person. I don't know if he's a clone, and I don't know.
Starwhackers? I think it was the Starwhackers?
But that's an allegation, that, or crazy conspiracy is that he was a clone, or that they reprogrammed him. They did Monarch programming on him. You know, Monarch programming, MK Ultra. They MK Ultra'd a comedian so he would stop being funny.
Too bad he's still funny.
Yeah, I was going to say, it didn't work.
Better shit. So then I doubled down on it. I went, he has his own podcast, the Bruiniverse. I can't pronounce things that aren't spelled properly. It's a bad portmanteau. And I went and watched it, and he said sort of the same thing. Yeah, I can't say who they were, but so I did a little research on this. I remember seeing this conspiracy 100 years ago, if you know what I'm talking about. You guys familiar with this at all?
I remember it being brought up before that someone spoke to him, and that's why he went to Africa. And then once he came back, his personality was different.
Okay. Well, there's this allegedly an organization called the Dark Crusaders, consisting of Bill Cosby.
Just get the pill and put it in the water, and then the raping starts.
Al Sharpton.
Resist we must. I'm Al Sharpton.
Louis Farrakhan. Jesse Jackson, Whoopi Goldberg, Robert L. Johnson, who was the owner of BET, and Oprah Winfrey. It says they ran Chappelle out of town because they felt the show depicted and promoted a demeaning portrayal of stereotypical black life. Now, that could be true. The last sentence. Because if you watch the show, it was a little bit crazy. And Chappelle has addressed that people would come up to him and quote lines, and it was always white dudes. You know, coming up and quoting the lines, like, who's that guy that he did a character that was blind and was in the KKK and didn't know he was black?
Yeah.
It was funny, but you don't run up to a guy and quote those lines. And they were just quoting everything. And so according to the conspiracy, Cosby decided to bring Chappelle down to a viewing where he just started yelling at him and was disgusted by it. But no one listens to Cosby. And Chappelle at that time wouldn't have listened to Cosby. You can go back to 1988, Eddie Murphy's Raw.
Talking to Richard Pryor.
Well, yeah, but he says, Eddie says that Bill Cosby called him up and got mad at him for cursing because his kid, Bill Cosby's kid, the CEO, was quoting Eddie Murphy. You can't say flim, fly, flail, fly, 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 and fill. I said, I never said any of that. Go fuck yourself. But then he calls up Richard Pryor, and you know the bit. If you don't know it, just Google Raw, Eddie Murphy, Bill Cosby. It's very, very funny. So this is a highly suspect. So it's a ridiculous conspiracy theory. And I don't know. Do you think that maybe, and it just keeps going on. It's ridiculous. I don't think that those powerful people would all get together and tell Chappelle to stop doing that, especially since the amount of money that he was making, the amount of money he was making for Comedy Central, the amount of money he was making for himself. I think he had a crisis in his own mind. And he's, like I said, he said it himself, you know. It was shocking to be with his kid at an amusement park and have people run up and, you know, yelling the N-word or quoting him and shit like that. So I don't think that conspiracy is necessarily true, but you have to believe maybe Jim Brewer is not lying. Why would he say that? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, Bill Cosby came to me once and he said, I said, you don't have to put anything in my drink. I'll fuck you for free.
I mean, I don't know how close Jim Brewer was. I mean, I know they made movies together or made a movie together. People change all the time. I mean, yeah. It's nothing new.
He converted to Islam in 1998, Dave, not Jim Brewer. He says he wasn't the same person when he came back. And they did. They came up together. They did that movie. What was the name of that movie?
Half-Baked.
Which is a funny movie. And then they were pitched to do a sitcom together that never happened. Probably for the best there because it wouldn't have lasted. And Chappelle might not have achieved the success. Dave Chappelle is a genius. He's a good writer. He's very funny. He appeals to a broad audience of all shapes and sizes and colors and sexual orientations, except for trans people. Keep that.
Oh, real broad.
Yeah. Well, hey, we don't support hate on this show, Jeff. And I know that you're not like that and that you were just kidding. And we love everyone, no matter who or what they are. They can't navigate this weird new world. You can't just speak. You can't just say things. Anyway, so in some other news, anyway, I'm done talking about that. Thank you for indulging me. Harlan Highway was funny this week. It's phone calls, and that's just people leaving him messages and him responding to them with his brilliant improvisational skills.
I was going to do Bernie and talk about, you know, AI and how it's infringing on everything. And my idea for that is this year, because we have Joe Biden, who I love, a dear friend of mine, Donald Trump, who I do not love and I am not friends with, and then that guy from Massachusetts, whose family always ran for president and for somehow reason thinks he's entitled. Well, he's not entitled. He's just a younger, better looking, more physically fit me with a raspier voice. That's all he is. But Tim said I should introduce the AI country song that he created that Jeff has not heard, but I do know that Dustin has heard it. It is the first single by a fictional country singer, Jack Walker. It's called Bull Riding. The new genre of country music, country cuck.
Days are getting longer and the flowers are in bloom. Send a text saying, baby, ready, cause I'll be there soon. Before I leave, I prep my brown eye, rinsing it with a hose. I don't want it smelling up the place when I take off all my clothes. Pick her up at her mama's house, took her to the show. Found the bull that we're gonna bring home. I feel it start to grow, good thing I'm wearing thing to protect my chastity. I can't take it off until I'm done doing clean up. Gonna watch her riding that bull from dusk to dawn, she'll be nice and full. Gonna watch her thrashing her hair while I sit stiff but helpless in the bedroom chair. She's riding cowgirl going front to back. Her bull gives everything I've had when she's
I take it in stride. Then she climbs back on for another ride. Then she climbs back on for another ride.
It's news, trailers, and trends with Steph.
James McCartney. Do you guys know James McCartney?
Son of Paul.
Yes, he is. But he looks like Paul's dad. And Sean Ono Lennon, who is John Lennon's youngest son. They put out a single together, and everybody's saying it's fantastic. So the sons of the Beatles, Paul McCartney, Sir Paul McCartney, and John Lennon have a song. It's called Primrose Hill, also known as Boring Knoll. I think Sean Lennon is a very talented guitar player, and he's in the Delirium. What's the guy's name from Primus? What am I? I'm forgetting his name.
Les Claypool?
Yeah, the Claypool Lennon Delirium. They're fun. That's good music. Or it might be the Lennon Claypool Delirium. I don't really know. But it's good, and I enjoy it. And Sean Ono has done a lot of music over the years, or Sean Lennon. I didn't even know James McCartney was a musician until this week. He looks old as fuck. I think he's younger than Sean Lennon. But he looks so old. He's like an old ginger Paul McCartney with, you know, the McCartney eyes, the sagging eyes. Not that that means anything. Who cares about that? But it's like a little ballad, and it's about London's panoramic viewing spot in Regent Park. Have you guys heard this song?
Yeah, kind of all right.
Yeah, okay. It's a cute little ditty. What are they going to go on tour? Are they going to get Zach Starkey and George Harrison's son go on tour?
George Harrison's son opened for ELO when I saw him last.
Oh, yeah?
It was awesome.
Does he sound like his dad?
Yeah, a little.
Did he play his dad's songs?
No.
See? Nobody wants to hear your shit there, George Harrison.
I wonder if they're just pushing I'm sure they're just releasing it, but they're re-releasing Let It Be next month.
Putting the movie on Disney.
Yeah, in 4K, and they cleaned it up and everything. It's Peter Jackson doing it from...
Yeah.
It was sort of a condensed version of the super long.
He used everything that they took out of it.
Oh, he did.
And then, yeah, this is a remake or a remastered.
Yeah.
I hope there's an animated scene where Homer Simpson drives up in a limousine, rolls the window down, and goes, "It's been done before." Baby on board, something, something, Burt Ward. Chris Farley biopic is in the works with Paul Walter Hauser, who's a good actor. Josh Gad is going to direct it. I am not interested in this. I would rather see a documentary. But
There's already been documentaries about Farley.
A good one. A long one.
Yeah.
It's based on he dropped the Quentin Tarantino movie for this.
Who did?
Paul Walter Hauser.
Oh, what was he going to be in that?
He's going to be the critic. Remember when they were saying like last month that Shane Gillis was going to be the new lead in a Quentin Tarantino movie? It's because he dropped out of doing that movie.
To play. All right. Well, you know, I'm going to be interested in it. It's my first reaction, gut reaction to these biopics is always, because there aren't that many really good ones. Really, when you think about it. There aren't.
Unless it's done by Weird Al. That one was great.
Yeah. Weird Al's was great. Oh, God. Speaking of Weird Al, this is something that I saw on Red Bar. Bill Maher had Weird Al on.
Yeah, really?
And this was a while ago when the documentary came out. So Weird Al was talking about how you had to get the Roku app or the watches movie. And for some reason, Bill Maher couldn't figure that out. And just one note that I forgot when we were talking about podcasts is on Club Random this week, Bill Maher won't drink Zevia because it has chemicals in it. But who cares? He just put these expensive drops of Jing in there. But the thing that was funny to me is I skimmed through it. He didn't smoke any weed. His guest was Katie Couric. And yet he couldn't do that for Steve-O. I'm sure he didn't, Katie Couric didn't want a bunch of pot smoke around her. So anyway, moving on. I guess I'll watch this Chris Farley thing. Look at, you got, it's based on the Chris Farley Show, a biography in three acts that his brother Tom wrote. Let's see. It's being produced by Broadway Video, right? Which is Lorne Michaels,
yeah.
And you've got Oscar and Emmy nominees making it, writing the screenplay. So that's good. Maybe it'll be all right. Maybe.
Yeah, I think it'll be good.
It won't be as funny as Tommy Boy. Steve Buscemi has been added to the Wednesday season 2 cast. He'll be the new man in charge at Nevermore Academy. That is a good casting choice. He's always a good casting choice, even on The Sopranos.
I was hoping he'd be Cousin It. Just cover him in hair.
The teeth. You got to have the teeth. Speaking of biopics, Martin Scorsese is in talks to direct Frank Sinatra biopic with Leonardo DiCaprio as Frank. Can Leo sing? I don't know.
You just use clips from Wolf of Wall Street and just recut it.
Yes. Tina Sinatra, she controls the estate, and so far there hasn't been an approved biopic, but I think this time around it'll probably, love is so much easier the second time around, so maybe they'll be able to make the movie. DiCaprio is Frank, we'll see. He does look like him a little bit.
Why don't they get Ronan Farrow to play him?
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a little on the nose.
Yeah, quite a bit. Old Blue Eyes is back. That's not my kid. I was only married to her for a week. Look at that stupid hair. She cut her hair for that movie about Satan. With the ditzy broad that lived upstairs and next door to her, that actress. Anyhow, allegedly in the film is Jennifer Lawrence out of her exile, and she'll be playing Ava Gardner. Maybe. In the why and what the fuck file, Vin Diesel's Kojak movie is still in the works.
Jesus.
And yeah, who cares?
he's bald. Baby. I'm bald.
Yeah, he's bald. Yeah. Like a lollipop. Didn't Ving Rhames do a series?
Yeah.
Kojak on CBS?
Yeah.
I like that. I like Ving Rhames. And Kojak doesn't have to be a... Listen, nobody knows who Kojak is. You don't need to make this movie. Nobody. I mean, they tried it on CBS and there were enough boomers left to go, I like that being raped. This is a good show. But, you know, no. Who do you want to? Why would you waste money making a movie about Kojak?
Is this Ryan Gosling Fall Guy movie related to the show at all?
Yes.
Is it?
It's based on it. Yeah.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. I mean, it's who knows if it's. Yeah, it's based on.
They wouldn't be able to make a Kojak movie like Kojak. Kojak was one of the most like misogynistic sex, you know.
Well, who loves you, baby?
Yeah, everything was.
And speaking of which, who the fuck would? Why was he a sex symbol? Telly Savalas. He wouldn't have been today.
No, he wasn't until he shaved his head for that one role, and then he just left it that way.
He was bald before that.
I thought he shaved it for a role, and then.
He's in the Dirty Dozen, right? Or Kelly's Heroes, one of those movies. No thanks. That's a hard pass. And then the last story I have is a longtime producer says Sydney Sweeney is not pretty and can't act. And this producer's name is Carol Baum.
She acts?
And Carol Baum is an industry veteran whose credits include Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Father of the Bride. And apparently she walked out of Dead Ringers going, yeah, I don't like Sydney Sweeney. What the fuck? She can act. And she's pretty. So you're wrong, old lady. Sorry that your uterus is dried up. And that's all the news.
Hi, it's Bernie Sanders for the pod burn and all that. Spring is here and we're excited for warmer weather. Stop in to Atlanta Pizza and Euro for one of their 16 ice cold draft beers and ciders on tap. They do not have Bernie malt liquor yet, but we're working on it. Try one of the many local craft and domestic beers available in cans and bottles. I hope they recycle them because that's very important. Their featured selection this spring is Springwater's Their featured selection is this spring is Sweetwater Brewing's Half a Gummy Fruit Punch IPA. There's a lot to unpack there. There's a plot reference. It's IPA. It's got fruit punch, which is what you drink when you're high. You know, the guy, the Hawaiian punch guy with the hat. Delicious. It's easy drinking, sweet tasting IPA with low bitterness and delicious fruit flavors. AP&G is a longtime favorite of Konya's and Covington and the East Metro area of Atlanta, Georgia. Their made-to-order pizzas, gyros, or gyros, however you say it, pasta specialties, and Greek salads are absolutely the best around. They wish to sincerely thank everybody for their business and support, both now and into the future. They have a food truck. Their events are going on regularly, but if you're interested in booking one, just contact Mike Hall at 770-483-6228. Open for dine-in or takeout Monday through Friday, 11 to 9, Saturday, 12 to 9, closed on Sundays. I don't know about the glory hole. You guys said earlier it was open again. I doubt it. Celebrity voice impersonated.
Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005 with a fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is, don't read the comment cards.
All right, let's read your YouTube comments. Your YouTube comments can be read underneath or posted and then read later. If you leave them underneath the video, which if you're watching on YouTube is right below. And don't forget while you're here, you know, like, subscribe, and turn on those notifications. Hemp Huntress 7970 says, still a WWE fan. Live shows from Pennsylvania, Colorado, Washington, and Oregon. Two WrestleManias live, and I still love to pop in on the homoerotic soap opera show for men that is called WWE. I love it all, and she is not wrong. That's why I enjoy it. I still watch it from time to time, but it's usually the old stuff. We can skip over this guy because we already talk about it. Okay. Now, I have to say to Roby, you missed the mark here. Roby says, Tim and Mark are missing an opportunity at Comedy Gold. He's talking about Mark Schrenkel, our guest from last week who did Sly. Mark looks like, sounds like, and has the facial expressions like Walter White's brother-in-law on Breaking Bad. Uncle Hank. I almost did it. I almost did the voice. Almost. I can't do that voice. Uncle Hank. Tim wears glasses, is losing his hair, and can do voices. I think you see where this is going. I'm not losing my hair. I'm just combing it. Tread lightly. Roby. Oh, just kidding. We love you. And then Mark Schrenkel, who was the guest on our show, wrote, thanks for having Sly on. He really appreciates the opportunity to clear the air. And what sucks is the day after we did that show, I had to do him on the air here. And I'm like, I should just call Mark because I don't, after hearing him, I don't like mine at all. But hey, it was in an episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Let's go watch the movie. And yeah, those are your comments.
His views.
Or.
And snooze.
Snooze.
All right. Last week was Fallout, which we watched all of. Mm-hmm. Franklin, which I gave it about 15 minutes and gave up.
What was Franklin?
The Ben Franklin show with Michael Douglas.
I told you that would be terrible.
It's just slow. And then Good Times. I watched the first one of those, and it's actually really funny. J.B. Smoove's the dad.
Yeah, I know, but Thelma's not happy.
Oh, really?
No. Because they're not involved, for one thing. And she said she reached out to Norman Lear and asked him his thoughts on it, if it would be reverent to the original show. And she said he had an old man moment.
Well, he was about to die.
He was pretty close there.
Yeah. I didn't want Bernadette Stannis is her name, by the way. I don't want to say.
I thought it was funny. I would watch more.
Yeah. Is it reverence? Does it show reverence to the show? Or
it does. There's little nods to the show throughout the entire first episode.
Are they the Evans family? Are they related? So they're related to the. It's set in modern times, right?
Yeah.
And they're related to the family from the 70s.
Yeah.
And they live in a ghetto.
Yeah.
So what happened is JJ lost his job at the art place. And Thelma's husband, I guess, didn't get to play professional football because the last episode of Good Times, they all got the fuck out of there.
Yeah, it's not like a continuation. It's like a reimagining.
All right.
But well. I think you should check it out. I found it to be very, very funny. I thought it would have fit well on like Adult Swim.
I bet it would have. I bet I'd like it.
Yeah.
But I don't want to. I want to be. I want to show some. I want to show support for Bernadette Stannis.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. This week, Conan O'Brien Must Go, the new travel show, 4 episodes on HBO Max.
How come everybody gets a travel show? He has a travel show. Everybody's got a travel. Eugene Levy has a show.
Yeah. Conan was doing it first, though.
Yeah, that's true. He went to Haiti.
He went there now.
He should go to Haiti now. Yeah. And wear a metal suit of armor so no one eats him.
The one where he goes to Armenia is great.
I bet it is. Conan's...
So that's 4/18, Conan's birthday. That comes out. So it'll be out by this weekend.
Bro, yeah. Out already.
Yep. Rebel Moon Part 2 comes out this week. I watched all of Part 1. I don't know if I'm going to watch Part 2.
That's a snooze for me.
That is definitely a snooze for me. I couldn't stand the first one.
Yeah, the first one was bad. I may just watch it if I'm bored.
I'd rather goon an egg.
And then the Jinx Part 2. I didn't watch Jinx Part 1, but this, like, Part 2 picks up after the first season of that series.
What is the
shocking ending?
I don't know.
Remember the Jinx? I thought you watched that.
The Jinx? No, I did not. You know what I'm watching right now? Not to step on what you're doing, but I was not going to watch it, but I started watching The Dynasty, and it's so well done that I got to finish it. Do you either of you watch that?
Oh, the reboot?
No, not the
reboot. Oh, the Patriots show?
Yeah, the series about the Patriots. That cracked me up, doesn't it?
I hear that new Robert Downey Jr. show is really good, too. The Synthesizer?
Yeah, Mike TV said it was good, and that I should watch it. But that Dynasty show is really good. You'll especially like to revisit the Giants beating them in the Super Bowl twice.
Yeah.
And... I was able to learn how, let's see, to do a Robert Kraft impression is you talk very slowly with a bit of an accent. And we didn't know Aaron killed people. Aaron Hernandez killed people. Yeah. How much for full service? Get that? And a lot of Bill Belichick. You see that story that came out today that Robert Kraft is really good friends with the guy that owns the Falcons. What's his name?
Arthur Blank.
Yeah, Arthur Blank.
I'm sure all the owners are friends.
But they're really tight. And you remember for a while, Blank was talking with... Bill Belichick, about coming to Atlanta to be the coach. And Robert Kraft talked him out of it. And that's why he didn't get hired here. Said he was selfish and rude and mean and all that. I don't know, man. The guy got you six Super Bowl rings and two Super Bowl losses. A perfect season that was only... put to bed because of the magic that is Jeff's favorite football team, the New York Giants. All right, I'm done babbling. Let's do some staff picks, okay?
Yeah, mine's Conan on Hot One season finale.
Season finale. So that's, they do a bunch of episodes, take a break, and come back.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like that show when I've seen it. It's always funny.
No, Conan just fucking goes nuts on the wings.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
It's one of the best performances I've seen out of Kobe in a long time.
Dustin.
Let's see. Mine is a movie that I've always wanted to see, and it's available on YouTube. It's called The Dark Backward. It's from 1991. It's Adam Rifkin is a director, writer. It's got Judd Nelson, Bill Paxton, Wayne Newton,
Laura
Flynn Boyle.
Judd Nelson?
Yes. Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
And it's, if I had to describe it, I would describe it as Eraserhead meets Little Shop of Horrors without the music or the plant.
I've seen this movie. I don't remember anything about it, but I'm looking at it on.
Judd Nelson's a comedian, a horrible, horrible comedian. And Bill Paxton is a crazy street person.
And
the only thing that makes Judd Nelson interesting is he starts growing a third arm out of his back.
Okay.
And it's very Lynchian. And it's Adam Rifkin, so it was kind of at the time in Hollywood in the early 90s, it was kind of a cool thing to be in. It was kind of a hip thing to, you know, for everybody to join.
Right.
And it's got a legacy from it, but I had never seen it. And now that I've seen it, I can't unsee it.
I got to watch it. I guess you can watch it on Tubi.
Yeah, you can watch it on YouTube, actually. The whole thing's there. And I put a link in and you can watch it on that.
Awesome.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, I remember watching it years and years ago, and it's well over 30 years, so I need to watch it again. But as soon as I opened up and looked, I'm like, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, Bill Paxton is playing the most animated Bill Paxton character I've ever seen, which is saying something.
He's a whale's dick, honey. Bill Paxton, man, rest in peace. I love that guy. They're demons, son. Those are demons. Let's go kill them. All right, Dad. Who was the other kid? That was Matthew McConaughey, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They're going to go out and kill some demons. My hair will never come apart, though. Look at that. Mine is, I found this on TikTok, and they have a YouTube page. It's called Obscurest Vinyl. They're all AI songs set in different eras, and every single one of them has something to do with poop or urine. It's extremely childish and extremely scatological, which means it's right up my alley.
Like very funny.
I glued my balls to my asshole again. But it's like a Motown song. And I glued my ball to my asshole again. Which is what got me, of course, wanting to make my own. So I've been making country ones. I took some of Donald Trump's stupid truth social posts, you know, about the unfair judge and I can't go to my sons. And I just pasted them in there and I made like a punk song out of it and a Rush song. Or just weird stuff. But the country one I made, Dustin said you liked it. What was the other one I made? It was a shorter one. You remember? I don't want you to put it in here. It was very vile.
Yeah.
See the TikTok with Donald Trump telling the story of I tied an onion to my belt.
Yes.
That was the style at the time.
Yes. Stealing from The Simpsons. But that was using his voice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to ignore all that shit as much as possible. But AI can be funny. Of course, I didn't come up with the idea, but, you know, hey, that's the way things go. Anyway, let's see. Let's do some plugs. Check out Trambles every Monday that I release as an audio-only podcast. Last week, I recorded this. I recorded for 30 minutes. I did this real long improv thing.
Yeah, you owe me like 6 minutes of Trambles.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry. And then I went to look at the time, and I hadn't hit record. So I had to go back and do it again. But basically, the premise is Sean Hannity is the host of Coast to Coast, talking about zombies and stuff like that. And also I'm not ripping off Phil Hendry. He told me to do my thing. Popcast is a radio show. I do every week, 7 o'clock on WSB 95.5 FM, 750 AM in Atlanta. You can listen on the app no matter where you are. And then it becomes a podcast the following Monday. On the podcast right now, comedian Aaron Weber, and then some cool anime people educating me about anime. And I don't have it written down, so I don't remember their names. This week, Kevin Spencer returns to the show. He is the front man for Electric Avenue, which is a fun band. They are going to be in Atlanta soon, so you can check that out and find out where they're going to be at the Fred, actually, which is in Peachtree City. And they're also getting ready, he told me that night, They're going to be performing with Mike Mills on one of their shows that unfortunately is not in Atlanta, but they're going to be doing a bunch of REM songs with Mike Mills.
Oh, shit. Cool.
Yes. And I want to thank our guest from last week, Mr. Sly himself, Mark Schrankel. You can find him on Cameo. Just look at MARK001, Mark001. And we would love to thank you guys. Listen, if you want to support the show, you can do it in a number of ways. You can subscribe on YouTube. Even if you're an audio only listener, just go open up YouTube, follow us, subscribe or whatever you want to call it. Like each video. You don't even have to watch them, but I suggest you do because Dustin does a kick-ass fucking show. And like us and all that stuff. Comment. We'll read your comment. We love your comments. And turn on the alert and all that jazz. If you would like to become a Patreon member, which is a way you can support us financially if you so desire, not only at any level you get access to our weekly Patreon-only show, but if you come in at the $25 level, you'll be a producer. So to find out more about that, go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. Listen, we're close to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. It's attainable, and we want that. So please share it, or us, with your friends. Thank you to our producers. We love you guys. You guys are really essential to this show and its continuing in legacy. Tim Slayton, Brian and Chelsea Smith, Jeff Peterson, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Chris Chandler, Roby Neely, Mike D, and Matt Carter. Don't forget, if you sign up at the $25 level, you get a t-shirt from our t-shirt store. You get a doodle from me, whether you want to, I'll do a pencil and pen or whatever you want. I'll do a doodle for you and we'll mail it to you. Stickers. We still need new stickers. So accepting your ideas, Jeff and Dustin, if you have any ideas, let's do some new artwork. I'll pay for them. And you get the weekly shout out. Listen, go to barkvilledogrescue.org and donate your money. Steph will tell us the latest with what's going on with them when she returns to the show. But as always, they need people to take in dogs or support them financially because they need to eat. They need bedding and all that stuff and medical treatment and veterinary treatment. I mean, so, yeah, do that. Why don't you?
Dog food ain't free, no.
That's right. Yeah. All right, you guys. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. Please remember to keep
it canon.
Well, they say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?